This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy New Year's Eve to you. Hope that you're having a good time wherever you are and however you're listening. Thank you for making us a part of your day. And make sure to keep it locked. If you got a little time to get your New Year's Eve started off or continuing in a good way, 2-6. The Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney is where Luke Morrow and Clint Sterner will be as the drive for your New Year's Eve. Go out, say what's up to the fellas, get you some wings, get you some beer. Shout out to Bud Light for making that happen. So, yeah, make sure you do that on a Thirsty Thursday except on a Wednesday. I think Andy called it a wet Wednesday, and I don't feel comfortable saying that more than once.
Yeah.
I was like, I get what he was saying, right? You know Phrasing. What I mean? Like a dry county, wet county, whatever.
Phrasing.
But, yeah. Unless you want it to be. Congratulations to you if that's the case.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I could stay there very long either, can I? So we move on to New Year's resolutions here in Houston sports. Feel free to play along on the text line 713-572-4610. But myself and B. Scott have put together a resolutions list for various teams, or a few resolutions for each team, each of the major sports teams in Houston. And so we kind of want to put these out there. And Houston sports teams, if you would choose to oblige, I feel like these can make your 2026 the best 2026 that it could be.
So I will start with, this is just very kind of just keep it simple, not to get too in the weeds. And we can as we discuss it, but I'll just put it like this. For the Texans.
Okay.
Operate an offense that fans can believe in. Operate an offense that even after you win, even after you have a dominant defensive performance, that we don't have to come in here the next week and talk about all the pitfalls and shortcomings of the offense. Just, and maybe I don't have the best answer to how you do that, whether that's a change in offensive coordinator, an improvement in the offensive coordinator that you already have. Maybe it's just honing in on the things that you do well, which they have talked about and we have talked about being very much key to their identity. Finding the pieces of their personnel or the highlights of their personnel and maximizing those, leaning into those. Simply operate an offense that fans can believe in, whether that's one that scores more points, whether that's one that is more consistent throughout the course of a game, whether that's one that just simply runs the football better, whether that's one that protects. You know, they've already done a better job with the penalties, as we have mentioned earlier in the show. Operate an offense that the fans can actually believe in.
I feel like I'm going to play. You remember the Key and Peele sketch, the Obama translator?
I do remember whatever. That.
I feel like I'm going to be your New Year's resolution translator, and I believe that what you are saying is don't settle.
Don't settle.
Don't settle, right? Like, don't feel like, all right, well, we got to be the best version of yourself, girl. Like, don't feel like just because you didn't gotten to the playoffs for 3 straight years and only God knows where you end up there, don't settle. Go and be better. And I feel like the place in particular, and this is low-hanging fruit, but we're talking about 2026 as a whole, especially offensive line, is go in there and just because you have found a way to find a best five for the season – and you have found some improvement, you are not done here. And I don't think I'm speaking. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir to some degree if I was talking directly to Nick Caserio or anyone in the personnel staff. I think they know, but also, we don't need to make sure you hit on those, right? We were talking about this off-air at one point, and I was like, I think that the continued growth of the offensive line is something that was going to be necessary no matter what.
Yeah.
And it was to be expected that this year was not going to be an endpoint by any means. So worst-case scenario, I need another Ariante Ursary on this line. And I don't know that I mean specifically Ariante Ursary, but I need another hit with a high draft capital or high capital somewhere so that you have another anchor point on this offensive line. Because that'll give you three. I don't know for certain that Ed Ingram is, one, the Ed Ingram of this year, next year, and I don't know if he's definitely back. But I know that you will have two dudes on that offensive line that I feel strongly about as of right now. Ariante Ursary, Titus Howard. You make that three and you're cooking with something. I don't know if it's grease or fire or gas, but you cook with something that is more than what you have currently. And I feel like you just need to make sure that you have another guaranteed checkmark on that offensive line before the season starts come September.
Look, beggars can't be choosers, and you should be grateful for where the Texans are at this point. But the frustrating part about that resolution and about that point that you just made is that it feels like we are at the exact same spot that we were a year ago when we were talking about the interior of the offensive line, right? Like, because Ed Ingram has been excellent, but as you mentioned, we don't know if he's a short-timer or a long-timer. And in the event that he's not a long-timer and is a short-timer, that means from guard to guard, you still got some either question marks or less than ideal options.
Yeah, so, but yeah. What's nice about that is I'm putting the minimum at one. If you could give me two more answers on the offensive line, buddy, you're off to the races at that point, right? Like, you have a good play. Because I think you have to, and I haven't said his name in a long time. I don't know how frequently his name has been said in the last month, even though early on in the season, in the offseason, or not offseason, but the training camp, preseason, his name was said a lot. Cole Popovich deserves a lot of credit.
Yes, he does.
Fundamentals have gone through the roof on this offensive line. Even in times where we were looking at him, we're like, is this coming along? It has. I think it's very definitively has looked a lot better. You give him four talented offensive linemen that you know can do the job and let him go to work, I think that you can see C.J. Stroud be happy because he's throwing the ball down the field because he has time. You see the best of Woody Marks and or question mark Jawar Jordan and or question mark whatever whoever else is running the football, right? That you see the best of all those things, and now we're very much further along in what you were talking about. And the beautiful thing about that, the Washington's second round pick that you have in that you got through the Laremy Tunsil trade, that's a top 40 pick. You got the Giants' third round pick, that's a top 65 pick. You have Washington's fourth round pick, which should be just outside the top 100 on top of the picks that you still have available of your own. Yeah. And we know Nick Caserio likes putting some sticks together and creating fire. Like, I do think that there's a lot of ample opportunity for you to throw darts at the dartboard and answer some of these.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And a similar version, or I should say a different version, but a similar take to find another Ariante Ursary is, for me, is like find a left guard. Like, if find the Ariante Ursary equivalent or reasonable facsimile at left guard. Like, and it's the issue that has plagued them for years now. They've been trying to figure it out. It's the reason why Titus Howard keeps getting, you know, ping ponged. And it's like, hey, you know, when the tackles go down, you make guard adjustments. You know, it's like, golly, man, how do you have all of these interior offensive linemen on your team and not feel like you've got a credible left guard to the point where you got to put your tackle there? So find a left guard, and along the lines of what you're saying as well, of like, it'd be ideal if he could be Ariante Ursary, like somebody that could, specifically when I make the Ariante Ursary comparison, I'm saying specifically somebody that can come in and make an impact close to right away. Like, there was a learning curve for Ariante Ursary. We all remember it all too well, but he's a rookie who's been able to be your starting left tackle, and you feel fairly decent about it, say for a game or two here and some penalties or two there.
And that learning curve has helped. It's helped to buoy, or you can buoy that younger player by having other players that you know can be the tent poles.
Yes.
And it feels like you at least have two of those. All right, so do you have another Texan? The only other Texan one I would have said is do what you do, like be you to your fullest extent, and that's more of a short-term New Year's resolution, which is, in this playoff run that you were about to have, don't feel the need to be cute. Do what you do best. Be the best version of yourself. And if that's not good enough, then that's not good enough. But you can't afford to. And that's honestly fits more offensively. Run the football. Use your duo. Use your opportunities to work up to the second level. Don't feel like you got to be cute with it. Do the things that work.
Yeah, I would say my only other one, this might be a little bit too easy, but how about let's not make this historically defensive thing. Like, it's not to say that they got to necessarily be a historic defense next year, but let's make this defensive identity a thing. Let's not make it a one-off on what the defense is.
Sure.
Right? And I think that, you know, just by nature of what the personnel is and the contracts and all that, it's perfectly set up to be that way. The stars of the defense are either young or guys that they should be able to reasonably bring back. You know, you think about like the Azeez Al-Shaairs of the world, but then also like the foundation of it outside of that being Will Anderson Jr., Kamari Lassiter, Derek Stingley Jr. Like, those are guys that are young and are either in their second contract or in their first contract, newly into their second contract or about to get that second contract, but guys that you expect to be here for a long time.
Lance Erline saying that it's not a good offensive line draft. Yeah, and that's why it's beautiful that you have a lot of top 100 earlier, because it's not to say that there's no offensive linemen, just not going to be a lot of great ones.
Yeah. You don't need it to be a great offensive line draft. You just need to catch the lightning in the bottle that is whatever your pick is or whatever you're able to maneuver. Like you talk about Nick Caserio putting the sticks together to make fire. That might be what he's got to do to find that guy.
Astros resolution.
Take more pitches. Have a better approach.
Be more patient is the way that I'll translate that.
Be more patient. Take more pitches. Have a better approach. Have better at-bats. To me, it is the most noticeable difference aside from the obvious, which is the injuries, their poor injury luck, and you could say their poor injury management, them talking about reviewing and revising their return to play policy and all of that sort of thing. Those are things that absolutely have to happen. But just for the guys that play, whoever those guys may be, have a better approach, be more patient, take more pitches the way you used to do. Yeah. To be the Astros that we all fell in love with.
Especially because even as you become less and less of the team that is just soaked with talent, the aggressive approach becomes more and more dangerous or at least risky.
Yeah.
And so you don't have as many of the dudes who make up for the risk. So lean a little bit away from that risk by being patient. And that's been something that they've called for, but they just haven't executed on. I think that they are putting themselves in position early to do that, but I think it still remains to be seen what happens through the rest of the winter. And crazy as it seems, we are like less than 40 days away from pitchers and catching reporting.
Yeah.
Apologies for being that guy, but, you know, it's coming.
But the approach thing is a hallmark of championship Astros baseball, right? Like it was a hallmark of the 2017 Astros. It was a hallmark of what I'll call, for the purposes of this conversation, the Michael Brantley era Astros, right? They were just the Michael Brantley, Alex Bregman. These are guys that they don't have anymore. They were just much better at that then than they are now. And it shows. And we see that. So get back to that. And I think you got a better chance, at least, of fending off the emerging, I was going to call them the Oakland A's of the world. They're not that anymore, are they? The emerging A's of the world. The potentially emerging Rangers of the world. Who knows what they're going to be if they can stay healthy.
Yeah,
and certainly the Seattle Mariners, who look like they're more or better positioned to be the class of the AOS.
Also, the other resolution, focus on your health. I think that they're already taking the steps too. When it comes to, you know, hey, we're reevaluating our process. Yeah, don't stop until you get enough, right? Make sure that thing is fixed. Don't just, we changed it, and that means that we're going to get these injuries back together. No. Keep focusing on that. All right. Yeah. And then the Rockets, New Year's resolution.
I've got an early 2026 resolution for them. We'll see how the year plays out. And obviously next season is to be determined, or we'll see what things look like. But just early 2026, this would be my resolution for the Rockets. Let's get rid of the poor spacing lineups now that you're more healthy or healthier with Tari Eason's return, with Dorian Finney-Smith now having his debut, and like we mentioned earlier, getting his legs under him. The lineups that I don't want to see anymore, that I felt like opposing teams were baiting them into taking poor shots, is the double big with a min. That's not a tenable lineup. That's a poor spacing lineup, and it also more so than just poor spacing, again, it baits the Rockets into a confident Amin Thompson shooting more threes than I would like for him to shoot. And we talked about this, I think, off air, but not minding him take the corner threes, but it's the wing threes. It's any at the top of the key. And honestly, it's the frequency in which he takes them, I think, is more so a product of the fact that that's the lineup that they got out there. They got two guys that they know aren't going to shoot threes. They know can't shoot threes, and Steven Adams, who's not going to even try, but then Amin Thompson, who they will bait into shooting them. Get rid of that lineup. Okay, you can play the double big. You can play Amin Thompson with either big. Those three together, let's do as little of that as possible in the year of our Lord 2026.
Translation, stop people pleasing, right? Don't do what they want you to do.
Yes.
Dictate upon them what you can do.
Very basic principle in any sport is if the opposing team wants you to do it, you probably shouldn't do it.
unless you're just really good at it. Then there's an instance where you create a little bit of friction that works in your favor. But yeah, in this instance, Amen Thompson, hey, man, yeah, find the happy medium, big dog.
In the case that you're good at it, though, that's not going to be a thing that the opposing team wants you to do.
There you go.
So, So, I mean, if you're good at it, then, you know, all's good. But the opposing team wants you to do it. There's a reason for that.
All right, there you go. A little bit of New Year's resolutions for the Houston sports teams in the coming year of 2026. Appreciate you rocking with us. Somebody said J.J. Watt for left guard. If y'all don't leave that man alone,
golly,
let that man spend time with his family.
Let that dream die.
All right.
The dream, not any people.
I just don't,
The dream itself.
The word dying on New Year's Eve don't really sit well.
It is rough.
But your point is well taken. J.J. Watt on the broadcast this weekend for Texans.
Oh, so that means they'll win.
Yeah, they have not lost when he's been on the broadcast, so I'm excited for it. I won't get the benefit of it because we have the benefit of being in the building, but it's always a good broadcast too. They do a great job.
Yeah, it's even gotten to the point to where like public media critics are advocating for that to be the number one broadcasting team for CBS, and I can't say I disagree with them.
Yeah, especially because, and this is less about the broadcast. Have you seen the social media videos that they'll do after the game where they're just kind of chopping it up and asking JJ questions? Those are delightful.
Yeah.
It brings out Ian's personality. Of course, JJ's personality is really nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but it has been cool to see JJ emerge in this role. Like, I thought he was fine but not great in the studio. I think he's excellent as a color commentator, and I hope that we get to see it, not just in Texans games, but just overall for a long time. I think he is perfectly positioned to be in that spot.
There you go. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is typically where we hand things off to Fig for the mixtape. I will be handling it. There was the passing of a very good character actor in the world of media. He had a very particular role that resonates with me. And in honor of that, I will give you the definitive, but not definitive, list of supporting characters in prestige TV. That's coming up next in the mixtape.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed. It is the mixtape right here in loop on Sports Radio 610 on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to you. Reginald Latitula helming the mixtape for the third straight day with Figgy Fig, enjoying some well-deserved time off. B. Scott in tow with me alongside in the stead of John Lopez. I think I said that about three different ways. And of course, Colin Neal hanging out. And you, 713-572-4610. In which the question I will ask here is, how are you ringing in the new year? That is the beginning of the mixtape, because I have a confession of sorts to throw in the mixtape. I don't have plan the first for New Year's Eve. And it's not like it's New Year's Eve is a day where you probably want to have your idea, your plans ahead of time, but you could probably make something shake if you really want to. However, you probably should have something in tow. And a little something about me, my family, pretty religious, so a lot of crossing over into the new year was spent at church.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean?
As a kid, at least, for sure, yeah.
And so I did a lot of that. And then as a young adult, I really did a lot of just not doing a lot, or maybe going to a friend's and like a little kickback, something to that effect, maybe smoking some cigars, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have that available to me either. And so I don't really know what I'm going to do. And it very possibly could be a sitting at the house, just chilling type vibe.
It's funny because I'm actually looking forward to that type of
just
New Year's.
Sitting at the house chilling.
Because I actually normally do something for New Year's. So like a year ago right now, I would have been in Denver, Colorado, and I reined in the New Year. So I brought in 2025 in Denver, where it was snowy and it was cold, and you know, but it was exciting because we weren't at home and we were in a different place, and you know, it was cool. Like, literally did something. I had gotten on a plane and went out of town for New Year's, right?
Yeah.
This year I'm doing the exact opposite. we might go check out the city fireworks, like Missouri City. I live in Missouri City. They're going to do fireworks. Might do that with the kids. Might not do a thing. Might not do nothing at all and just sit at home and relax. It's something that I kind of wish I was able to do on Christmas. Maybe I have the New Year's. Maybe for New Year's, I have the kind of holiday that I wanted to have for Christmas, where I get to just sit on my couch or upstairs in my movie room or whatever it is, just relaxing and not being too worried about anything. I am reaching that point in life where I'm looking forward to the mundane.
A fair point that comes in from the 832. At this point, it's worth staying at home in a safe spot. That is not a bad point, because another thing about New Year's Eve in a moment like this, while it is fun to get outside, they do be wilding at times.
Yeah, I don't need to be out on the road with y'all with the drunk driving. And just since I mentioned that, don't do that, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, please.
I want to advise against that. I also want to be real about the fact that we got some fools out here that are going to try it anyway. Maybe even some of the fools that are foolish enough to not be listening to Sports Radio 610 right now. Them folks is going to be out there. So between that and the shooting of the guns, like, please don't do that either.
Yeah.
Shooting a gun in the air. That, look, y'all don't know gravity.
Please.
Y'all don't know how gravity works.
What goes up must come down.
Come on now. And that's the last. Imagine that, man. You ain't the target of no kind of shooting, but some random ass bullet then grazed you. If you're lucky, then grazed you on the back of the neck or something like that. Like, don't do it.
Yeah. So if we got to get some PSAs off here, first and foremost, do not shoot your arms in the air in celebration or any other emotion, I imagine. If you are going to partake in adult beverages, have a plan for a way to get home. Get you your ride share, your taxi, your designated driver. But be responsible out here in these streets.
I would also say this is more so for younger people, because I think that people of a certain age have learned their limitations and probably already know what they can and can't do. But this was some of the best advice that was given to me as a teenager. When you first really start partying and kind of getting out there in the world, do what you do and nothing more. Right. So if and I'm not telling you what to do, like, you know what it is, whatever your vice or however you want to look at it. But if you drink, if you have six drinks and you're good, don't have eight tonight.
Just because it's a special occasion. Yeah,
if you don't normally smoke bud, don't do it tonight. Do whatever it is that you do.
What part of the cow is that?
Just do that. Do that. Do the thing that you do and nothing more. Stick to your rivers and go TLC.
That's right.
Go TLC in this New Year's, New Year's Eve into the new year. Stick to your rivers and your lakes that you are used to.
That is correct.
Don't go to the Buffalo Bayou, though. Don't go to that one. Don't go to that body of water.
Have you seen, let's continue the mixtape here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Oh. There, come on, Colin. Come on, big dog.
Slow on the button.
I need 2026 to be here right now.
You mentioned the Buffalo Bayou because there's been a number of bodies that have been pulled out the bayou, one very relatively recently. Did you see that authorities are saying that this is not a serial killer, like, even though people are hypothesizing as such?
Oh, come on.
It's
come on.
It's been the most annoying story in my time at the Houston Chronicle, because, you know, they got to be all deep into this.
Mm-hmm.
It has been, I'm not going to say annoying, just baffling for me as somebody that grew up, in the city, grew up next to a bayou. So my neighbor across the street, their backyard is basically in the bayou. Like, they can see the bayou from their backyard, Sims Bayou. Okay. And y'all tell me if I'm crazy about this. Maybe this is a confession. I always just kind of assumed it was bodies in the bayou.
Oh,
I just always assumed that was what was in there.
I don't think you're crazy but thinking
so,
that.
So, like, the idea that they're finding more of them, or that they're finding them, I'm like, oh, they must have just now started looking. Because that's where I thought the bodies be.
The
I found the bodies in the bayou phenomenon to not be phenomenal at all.
Not phenomenal, but also, like, noteworthy, for lack of a better term. Harris County District Attorney Sean Teer told KPRC2, that there's not a serial killer that is routinely dumping bodies. The answer is there are reasons for many of these deaths. And he said, basically pointing to the idea, one of the things is that there is a lot of, like, unhoused encampments that are near the bayou. And then things happen and then bodies into the bayou.
Yeah, I mean, and not to make light of it at all, but a lot of these bodies are the unhoused population. Sometimes it's the inebriated population. There are people that are just like getting drunk and falling in the bayou. Stuff like that does happen, you know? And so, and they don't want to say that because I don't think they want to make light of the situation, and neither do I. But not all bayou deaths are created equal, at the risk of sounding like I'm trivializing it.
But not to be callous.
But it is the truth, though. They are not all created equal. Just because you found one and you found another does not mean that you have a trend of sorts.
Anyways, Colin, you brought that to mind, so I put that on you. But I did still plan on talking about passing in this segment like follows. Because in the loop here, mixtape, unfortunately, was it yesterday we found out of the passing of, I will say, a great American, maybe a little bit bold, but a fantastic actor and one who you would have seen if you have watched a number of Spike Lee's films.
Yep.
One who you would have seen if you watched Veep. But you definitely would know and remember if you have watched the greatest show in the history of American television, per me, The Wire, because he played Senator Clay Davis, who had a particular catchphrase that we cannot repeat on air.
Yeah.
Isaiah Whitlock Jr. passed away yesterday. And this character of Senator Clay Davis is one of my absolute favorites of all time, B. Scott.
Yeah, it's tough. And I co-sign your point about it being the greatest television show that was ever made. It is tough being a Wire fan and watching so many of them perish over time. You know,
the man who played Ziggy passed earlier this month.
Of course, Michael K. Williams passed a couple of years back. Robert Chu, he both was, you know, played Prop Joe, but also I think directed some of.
I know that he was a big thespian, and a lot of the kids that were on the program, he helped coach them and teach them.
Help find some of them and coach and teach them. So we're seeing a lot of them perish, unfortunately. Really hate to see it. And this is just another example of that. Like you mentioned, Isaiah Whitlock, Clay Davis fame, but also, you know, I think the last thing I saw him in was in The Five Bloods.
Yes.
Which is a Spike Lee joint, like as you mentioned. Really, really good actor. Fascinating, fascinating character. And in a show that was, The Wire was heavy a lot of times because it dealt with real issues. It dealt with institutions and really picking them apart. But there were characters, and this was one of them, Clay Davis's characters, that added a certain, that made the show light.
Yes.
Or added a comedic relief or something that was beyond just the, oh man, it feels like this show is so, it feels like I'm in a class, like it's so serious type of thing. He kind of lightened it up while still speaking to the very institutional issues and problems that The Wire was trying to tackle. I thought he was a fascinating character.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's one of the reasons why he was fun. It was not just that he was a good character, because he was a solid character, a nice recurring character, but the comedy element of it was nice, because sometimes you can tend to gravitate to a character that is fun in that way. And so I give you the Isaiah Whitlock Jr. Memorial best side characters in prestige television list here in the loop, in the mixtape. And so I will give you this list. Tell me whether you agree or not.
All right.
Of course, I've limited this to prestige TV because we don't got time to do all the best in TV. But first and foremost, I would like to induct into this Hall of Fame of sorts, Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos.
Yes. Paulie's got to be there. Paulie absolutely has got to be there. I don't think that there's any question about it. This is and I don't know if you're doing this as a ranking from top to bottom, but if you were, he would have to be right there near the top with any, like I would put Paulie Walnuts and rival him against any, supporting cast member in any show.
So you have Paulie Walnuts of The Sopranos, a comedic character, but one that had a little bit of depth.
Yeah,
and every time you saw him on the screen, there was a natural reaction. You're getting a feel for what I'm going for. I feel like you also have to put Jesse Pinkman, The Wire.
Oh man.
Or not The Wire, sorry. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. I was going to say,
I was about to.
Jesse Pinkman might even be, you know, like Jesse's story made it so where Breaking Bad was not a rewatchable for me.
Really?
I felt for him that bad to where, like, and maybe I just got too invested in the show, but I just cannot watch it again. It screws me up that bad, the Jesse Pinkman story. I'm right there with you.
Is Jimmy McGill, Saul Goodman on that list?
Saul Goodman. Yeah. Breaking Bad. There's actually one more. There's a few Breaking Bad ones that came in here, and I crowdsourced this with a few of my friends. So if this does not meet your list, feel free to let me know. 713-572-4610. Also, let me know what other prestige show side characters that you viewed highly. Breaking Bad is one of those ones where it was written the way that that Vince Gilligan wrote it. He wrote it with such a nice kind of nice feel to where there's a number of those characters that had that, because Gus Fring, I feel like, comes in here as well.
Oh, my God. Goodness, Breaking Bad. You've got all of them.
They came through pretty strong.
I was forgetting until you actually started bringing them up. All of these work. All of these. It is the best show that I could not rewatch. My favorite show that I could not watch again.
Omar Little, The Wire.
Yes.
So those have dominated the conversation to this point. Have you watched BoJack Horseman?
I have not.
It was a Netflix show. And look, I see Colin smiling over there. I know that he's watched it.
No, I've not watched it, but I feel like I know where you're going with this.
Mr. Peanut Butter.
You have to tell me about this.
Mr. Peanut Butter, voiced by Paul F. Tompkins.
Give me the name of the show again, because I'm about to put it on my list.
BoJack Horseman.
Okay.
He is a golden retriever, and he has a golden retriever personality in which he annoys the main character, BoJack Horseman, with his endless positivity, like a dog, like literally like a golden retriever. He's just always positive. Is oblivious sometimes to the negative connotations of things that's happening. And that adds, but also has depth in various ways. Because again, it's prestige television. It's still going to lean in that way. But he adds some of the comic, idea to the show. You have watched Atlanta, though, I'm sure, right?
Of course.
Darius.
Yes.
Is also upon this list.
Yes. Darius is among. Why can't I think of my man's name, the actor?
Lakeith Stanfield.
Lakeith Stanfield. There we go. He had quite a run there for, you know, like a 2 or 3 year stretch, though. But yeah, I think that's a good one. That's a really good one.
8-2 says a few from Sons of Anarchy. That is one of my blind spots, and I did not get an answer there. So if you have an answer there to apply to this list, text it in. Let me know who your Sons of Anarchy was. I felt weird because I felt like Succession absolutely has them, but I was like, how do I quantify them as side characters?
Yeah, because all of the side characters have main character energy and moments. That might be the brilliance of the show, that every supporting cast member, they do such a good job, both the acting, character development, the writing of it, that it's hard to even make them side characters.
Veep, Gary from Veep,
yes,
is the character that I would induct there. No Hank from Barry.
Patrick Starr from SpongeBob.
I don't think SpongeBob is considered prestige TV, but I understand where you're going from there. Yeah, Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, if I would consider that prestige television, which I wouldn't necessarily, but I would like to include them. Those are the inaugural class, I will say, of the Senator Clay Davis Award for fantastic and somewhat comical side characters in prestige television. Once more, rest in peace to the late Isaiah Washington, or Whitlock Jr., rather. And there you go. That's the mixtape right here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on this New Year's Eve. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive who are out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. There's a lot of dudes not showing up at practice today for the Texans. You concerned at all? Let's talk about it.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yep, In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610.
That's what? 610.
My brain is shutting down. My brain is mush. I told you this 3 hours ago, didn't I, Colin? So just confirmation there. My brain is mush now.
It's okay. It's the end of the year. It's all right.
It's the end of the year.
That's right.
It's the last segment of the year.
Only for this show, because the fun rolls on with the drive. Clint Sterner, Luke Morrow, of course, T-Mill, Luke and Clint out at the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Go say what's up. Get you some wings, get you some fries, get you a beer, have a good time.
And no senioritis with those guys.
No. As you can tell, me saying no a whole bunch of time, the answer is it's kicking in over here. appreciate you guys on the text line and the YouTube page enjoying the various different fun side characters. Uncle Billy, yes, from Righteous Gemstones. I've not watched it, and even I know that is an incredible character.
Yeah, no, that's one. I don't know how I forgot about that one, but he's got to shoot up toward the top of the list.
And then Job from Arrested Development is a great, great shot. Great shot. Keep those coming. I kind of love that.
Uncle Billy, man. Uncle Billy, I don't know if they're going to do this, but he could have his own spinoff like right now.
And it would go for you, huh?
Easily. Yes.
All right. So we have the practice for Wednesday as you gear up for week 18 versus the Colts. D'Amico Ryans has made it clear. We're going. We're gunning. We're playing football because that's what we do. We are football players. Except here is the list of absences as has been captured by a number of media members. I'm reading directly from Landry Locker's tweet. Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter, Azeez Al-Shaair, Trent Brown, Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins. None of them spotted at practice. How does that hit you?
I mean, do they really need practice to go face against a Riley Leonard-led team? Look at me talking with that arrogance. That is irrational confidence on my part of somebody that does not have to go out there and play against Riley Leonard or any of the Colts. But no, it doesn't bother me. I think it is smart on their part to do as little as possible during the week so that they are maximized by weekend. So I think this is more of a precaution than anything. So no, it does not move me in that way.
I actually love this. I think that this is very much the attempt to split the difference. And it's not new. We've been seeing some of this, not quite this, but some of this over the last few weeks. Where Wednesday, if a dude has any sort of real ailment, you got the day, man. Yeah. Like D'Amico Ryan said this, I want to say it was with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris in one of those coaches show sit downs on Texas All Access a few weeks back. And he was like, it gets to a certain point in the season where you got to basically rear back on the physical and have more mental reps because you can't tax on the body. And of course, all of this is me kind of paraphrasing and then honestly imbuing my own intention or understanding from it. But yeah, man, like you get to a certain point in the season where how much does that rep physically on the field help you versus, you know, keeping that additional rep of freshness in the body for Sunday and then for your first round matchup and for moving on and giving yourself an opportunity to go on a run. And I look at these names. Stingley left the field for a few plays. Kamari Lassiter left the field for a few plays. Azeez Al-Shaair left the field for a few plays. Trent Brown didn't play in this game. Dalton Schultz has been banged up for months, Bubba.
Yeah.
Months. Nico Collins has the weight of the offensive passing game on his shoulders, whether it's actually catching the football or creating opportunities for other people to catch the football. Those are guys that need to have a breather here and there and a Wednesday practice. And also, those are all dudes with veteran enough to take mental reps and utilize them. I am 100% good with this. I actually think that this is beyond just a note of practice. This is an active strategic benefit in the way that they're doing.
Yeah, in the case of Nico Collins, you could make the argument that he needs the least practice. Like, he needs the least amount of practice just given his overall excellence, I would say. So, yeah, no, I'm actually good with this. Kind of to the point that you were making a moment ago, when you get this far into the season and you still have more season in front of you, right? You're going to the playoffs. By New Year's Eve, by the end of December, early January, rest is just as important as reps, or more important, I should say, more important. It is more important that you get rest and recovery than it is that you get reps. Reps are for training camp and early on in the season and kind of figuring things out. At this point in the season, if you ain't repped it enough by now, it ain't going to get done. You need rest and recovery more than anything, and so I would lean into that. I would also point out, I think that this is taking advantage of or maximizing the extra day, the fact that this is a little bit of a longer and extended week by one day, but one day still. So, like, you know, it's almost like being able to rest somebody on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday. You know what I mean? You get that extra day, essentially, because they played on Saturday and they're going to play again here coming up on Sunday. So
plus common opponent.
Yeah.
Common opponent. I think there's a level of familiarity that should help with game planning and the way you go. Plus,
that part two, yep.
We're saying this because we're allowed to be dismissive because we have this distance between us and NRG Stadium. It's Riley Leonard, as Shane Steichen confirmed actually earlier today that Riley Leonard is going to be going, hey, Shane, how do you prep Riley Leonard to run into a buzzsaw like the Texans defense? Yikes.
Well, I think we just got to be efficient, you know, running the football, getting the ball out of our hands quick. You know, like you said, they're really good on defense. They got two edge rushers that are the, you know, premier in the league right now. Linebackers are good. Stingley's good. Bullock's good. Shazier, I mean, they got some good players. So we just got to be efficient on first, second down, keep the chains moving, and go from there.
Did he make him Ryan Shazier?
You can tell
he knows who he's talking about, though.
Something like that.
At that point, I was like, how many more names you want to say? You could pretty much list off the whole defense if you want.
Yeah.
Any other good guys?
It's funny, though, because what he's saying is true. Like, it just makes football sense what he's saying, but it is always interesting when you ask about a quarterback and then the answer is, get it out of his hands. How do you help this quarterback get it out of his hands? Run the ball.
By making him play less. That's how. By making him play less.
Lessen his impact and influence.
This is going to be very intriguing. I imagine that this is going to be a game that very much leans on the linebackers a lot, which is, makes it kind of interesting that, I mean, Azeez gets his breath and breather is good. I think this is where the quick trigger and the physicality that Henry Toto and EJ Speed bring are going to be really cool.
Yeah. Because
they got to get in, fill gaps against Jonathan Taylor, but it's clear they're going to want to get the ball out quick. So you're also going to need to help. Whether it's zone, you know, in zone circumstances over the middle where I'm sure they'll try and attack, or coming up in the flats where I'm sure that he's going to try and get the ball out too quickly.
Yeah, and to their credit, they've done an incredible job with that as of late. So you got to feel, if you're a Texans fan, you got to feel confident in their ability to do exactly what Reggie just said. From EJ Speed to Henry Toa, being able to have that sideline to sideline dynamic, but also fill those gaps and account for what is going to easily be the biggest threat that the Colts are going to be able to present to you, which is Jonathan Taylor.
The biggest threat to any Buffalo Wild Wings in the Metroplex is when the drive descends upon it. We turn in to the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. It's Luke Morrow and, of course, Old Dirty Red himself, Clint Sterner. Fellas, what's it looking like, man?
Hey, man, it's always good to get up here to this part of the city, man. This is where Oralu, man. This is where my granny lived. We drove up here. Mom used to get us up at the crack of dawn and drive us up to Grangerland, actually, but up this way. So it's always good to get back up to this part of the city, man. It's got some great folks up here. The Buffalo Wild Wings is always jumping. So we're looking forward to a good day, man. How about you guys?
Man, it's been a good one here. We appreciate D&M Auto Leasing giving us an opportunity to cross with y'all. And I want to throw up to you guys the resolutions that we came up for some of these Houston sports teams and see how you guys hear these. Because we were trying to, you know, get ahead, set up the season, the year for success. B. Scott, I feel like the Texans one is the one that we should probably throw out here first and foremost to see how the fellas appreciate.
Yeah, mine was, and Clint, you'll appreciate this one. It was just simply operate an offense that fans can believe in and appreciate. You know, get an offense where when you go to the postgame show, Clint, or when we're doing our reaction shows on the following Monday and throughout the week, we can just fully appreciate a win and don't have to beat ourselves to death or beat our heads into the wall about how the offense left so much meat on the bone.
Yeah, look, I think that's a good one, man. The bar is really low for me. I mean, I don't mean that negatively. I just mean the bar is, I just want an offense where you know the identity. You go out there and you can cleanly execute it, you know, for the majority of the game, and instead of appearing to grasp for straws and to have communication issues. I mean, we're still, it seems like for 3 years now with CJ Stroud, we're still talking about getting out of the huddle on time. You know, if we could just get beyond those elementary things, I would be really happy. So, I'll take it a step further and just, you know, let's make some progress instead of, you know, hope for an offense that we can all embrace.
Like that. And Luke, I always love talking to you. How do you feel about this for the Astros? Just find some patience. Obviously, swing at less. Or, you know what I mean? I think that's a big thing, especially for this Astros team. As we know, there's been a little bit of talent drip, if we're going to be honest. And you don't have the talent to make up for the aggression that they've had historically. So, hey, be a little bit more patient like the manager wants.
Stop swinging at Bull Bleep.
Yeah, I don't disagree. How about just, like, follow what you say you're going to do? Because they told this last spring training they were going to change their approach and they were going to be more patient, yada, yada, yada. And then still same results, and they were towards the bottom of the league in pitches seen. So, you know, if you're going to tell us you're going to do something, why don't you actually do it? But I think for the Astros, I'm with you guys on that. And then for me, for the here and now, just, like, just do something. This was an 87-win team last year. I think they've gotten worse so far in the offseason. You got to make some changes. Bring in somebody here in the next few, really 6 weeks before spring training begins so that this team can get back to the playoffs in 2026.
Are y'all personally resolutions guys? Because I didn't ask you this, no. B-Scott, either. Because there's some people that very much vehemently do this, and some people are just like, nah, not really.
I'm not.
Yeah, no, I stopped doing them out loud, but quiet is kept, and, like, deep down I do have some what I call more so goals than resolutions, but it's the same thing. We're splitting hairs at that point.
Yeah, I'm typically a guy that, you know, hell, I strive to be better and my best pretty consistently throughout the year. So it's hard to get to the end and go, well, boy, I want to do this or that. So I guess I may sit down. My wife tends to be one that likes to write some goals down and stuff like that. So I may sit down with my old significant other and discuss a few things, but Not typically. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm not either. I'm kind of like you, right? Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? But one of the things I've recognized as I've gotten a little bit older is I think milestones are great opportunities to stop and reflect. And so this serves as one of those opportunities and waypoints to go, all right, what are we doing? What are we doing well? What do we need
sure.
to do better?
That's always good. Maybe we should do that as a group. We hadn't had a meeting in about 2 years. Maybe we should do that as a group. What do you
think? I'm sure everybody would like to come together at some point and give up time for us to talk about what we need to do better.
Hey, let's get it. Happy New Year to you boys, man. If y'all get up this way, man, B. Scott, your car will drive up here with that auto drive, man. If you want to get on up here, man, come on. You know where we'll be, baby.
I am in a Navi today. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Today. You ain't lying.
Yeah, baby.
So make sure to get out to the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. And I tell you, one thing that I'm always sure that they resolve to do is give you a good program in the afternoon from 2 to 6 with T-Mill, Luke Morrow, Clint Sterner. B. Scott, happy New Year's to you, friend.
Yes, same to you, buddy.
Appreciate you rocking with me, and I know you'll be back tomorrow. I'll see you guys in the new year.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.